Scripture lesson this morning comes from the Gospel of Mark, the 5th chapter. And so he went with him, and a large crowd followed him and pressed in on him. Now there was a woman who had been suffering from hemorrhages for 12 years. She had endured much under many physicians and had spent all that she had, and she was no better, but rather the worse. She had heard about Jesus and came up behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak. For she said, "If I but touch his clothes, I will be made well." Immediately her hemorrhage stopped and she felt in her body that she was healed of her disease. Immediately aware that power had gone forth from him, Jesus turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing in on you. How can you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked all around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came in fear and trembling, fell down before him, and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts and our worship today be acceptable to you. In Christ's name, amen. The average American worker has 50 interruptions a day, research says. 70% of those have nothing to do with work. William Arthur Ward said, "Interruptions can be viewed as sources of irritation or opportunities for service, as moments lost or experience gained, as times wasted or horizons widened. They can annoy us or enrich us, get under our skin, or give us a shot in the arm, monopolize our minutes, or spice our schedules, depending on our attitude toward them. There are some days that have too much to do and not enough time. I get frustrated at the rushed feeling when everything seems to take longer than it should and everyone seems to be moving slower than normal. It's the old watched pot never boils syndrome. And in the same way, when I'm in a hurry to do something, to be somewhere, to meet someone, that seems to be the greatest opportunity for the interruption, the phone call, the greatest opportunity for the flat tire, or some kind of interruption that stops you from going on to something somewhere else. And I've learned over the years that while annoying, at least when it's the telemarketer on the phone, but those moments of interruption are many times a moment of great ministry. And that's where we find Jesus in the text today. Sickness is the greatest interrupter of life. It enters without knocking, thwarting all plans, mocking the idea of certainty, and in some cases diminishing the hope for the future. It intrudes like a burglar in our home, touching every part of life. And such interruptions is what this woman in the text today was aware of. And Jesus had one of those moments of interruption. In Mark, we're told the story. He was on his way with Jairus to see the man's daughter. She was dying. She needed healing. They were in a hurry. Time was short. And to make matters worse, there was a huge crowd that slowed them down. The ways and the streets were narrow, so that the crowd was tightly bunched in. There was a celebrity was coming through. Everyone had their camera. Everyone wanted his autograph. Everybody wanted to talk to Jesus that day. And Jesus is tugging on him and talking to him and crying all at the same time. And meanwhile, the crowd is so tightly packed in the narrow alleyway that you could hardly breathe, much less move. The disciples are trying to do crowd control, but they're swept along with the flow. If you've ever tried to enter a large stadium surrounded by hundreds of people, much like the Super Bowl's going to be this afternoon, you know what it's like to be jostled in a crowd. Sometimes the slowly moving mass of people are so jammed together that you feel like you're part of a cattle herd that's being rounded up. And as Jesus walked toward Jairus' house with his disciples, he was probably getting lightly bumped and pushed as the crowd moved with him. And no one sees this wretched woman. She's off to the side. No one notices her as she elbows her way to the center. No one pays attention as she reaches out her hand. No one speaks to her, and she speaks to no one. This woman, who had a great and prolonged problem, according to verse 25, she had a flow of blood for 12 years. It was either a slow hemorrhage that was almost constant, or it occurred periodically during the 12 years she suffered from this condition. But either way, it made it impossible for her to feel strong and healthy. And at this particular moment, she was again suffering as a result of the loss of blood. Added to her physical problem was the fact that she was looked down upon by society. Her condition was such that it made her ceremonially unclean. We also have the word affliction. She has an affliction. Literally refers to a whip or a scourge. The Jews commonly referred to sickness as a chastisement from God. One can only imagine the guilt and emotional pressure that sapped her strength day after day after day. What a burden she carried. We read on in the story that no one could help her. She'd spent all she had going from doctor to doctor. And the text tells her that she was no better for it. In fact, they had made her worse. And she was bankrupt. She was bankrupt financially, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. Every new day was another hopeless dawn. And every sunset stained with the blood of her pain. And now this woman had heard of this great teacher, the great physician, of the wonderful works that he'd done. She'd heard the lepers talk. She'd heard about the cripple that were made to walk. She'd seen their eyes flash or fill with tears as they mentioned his name, Jesus. She'd heard what he'd done for others. It was daring. Fantastic, perhaps, but her heart thumped. But it was worth trying. It could only fail, and she was no stranger to failure. There came to this woman the assurance that if she could but touch him, the hem of his robe, she would be healed. Touch him. Yes, touch him. There would be no harm in that. He won't hurt me. He's so kind, full of sympathy. And now here's her chance. And she said, touch him on the head? No, I can't do that. That would be irreverent. On the hand, maybe? No, that would be too familiar. But there's no harm touching his robe. She pushes and shoves her way through the crowd. She's desperate. This is her last chance, her last hope for healing. She can't miss this opportunity. He's so near, yet seems so far away. She must touch him and her heart beats ever the faster. Her hands are moist from nerves. Just a little closer. Just a little closer. He's drawing near. She's so close to him now, she can hear him talking. She stretches and she strains. And just at the right moment, the very tip of her finger barely touches the hem of his robe. She touched him with a mighty faith. And like an electric shock, there surged back into those shrunken veins and the panting lungs, the withered muscles, the bloodless flesh, the rich glow of health and vitality. Once again, a body had been redeemed and given life. She retreated back into the crowd. She turns to go, not ungrateful, no, not at all, but fearful, lest she call attention to herself. And she's respectful of the great work that Jesus must do. She mustn't bother him. And with a smile on her face, the first time in 12 years that this woman has had a smile on her face, she retreats back into the crowd. She's on her way home, unnoticed, or so she thought. No one had noticed her. No one but Christ. But just at that moment, just at that moment that she touched the very hem of his robe, Jesus stops and he turns and he surveys the crowd and he asks, "Who touched me?" It seemed to Peter and the other disciples like, "That's kind of a stupid question, Jesus. You got hundreds and hundreds of people around here and you want to know who touched you? Come on." Jairus probably thought, "Why are you wasting precious time, Jesus? Why are you stopping my daughter's dying? She's on the edge of death." But you know what? It's amazing. But even in matters of life and death, as when Jesus heard that Lazarus was dying, the Lord never seems to be in a hurry. Even the disciples seem confused as to why Jesus would ask such a question, "Who touched me?" There were so many people crowded around Jesus, it could have been anyone. And besides, what difference does it make? A touch is a touch is a touch. But that's not true. In the Gospels, there are three kinds of touches. First, there's the touch of hostility. That's the touch of religious leaders when they beat him at his trial. Second, there's the touch of curiosity. That's the touch of the crowd milling around. And third, there is the touch of faith. And that's the touch of this poor woman. If the disciples couldn't tell the difference, no matter. Jesus could. He knew that someone had touched him in faith. He felt the faith. He felt it in the passing brush of her fingers on his robe. As he walked down a crowded street, hundreds and hundreds of hands reached out to him, yet he felt the thin, sickly hand of faith. He felt it. He felt her touch. He stopped. He turned. He spoke to her. He was not offended nor angry at her. He wasn't angry or frustrated about the interruption. He was not too busy or too tired to bother with her. Think of it. He whom all of the forces of hell could not stop was diverted by the touch of a sickly hand. This woman did by her touch what Satan himself could not do. Jesus stopped in his tracks. There's a wonderful picture here in that this woman with a touch of faith draws power from Jesus, whereas all the rest of the crowd pressing around him on every side, touching him many times in the course of the journey, were not receiving anything from him. In fact, the disciples commented on this. And Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had gone forth from him, immediately turned about in the crowd and said, "Who touched my garments?" And his disciples said to him, "You see the crowd pressing around you, and yet you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see who had done it. But the woman, knowing what had been done to her, came in fear and trembling and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, "Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your disease." She came in fear because she didn't know how the crowd would react, because she was unclean and she could possibly make Jesus, the great teacher, unclean. She didn't know how they would react to the inconvenience of stopping Jesus. This is the only time recorded in the scriptures that he ever used the term daughter. He was very tender with this woman because despite her shame and embarrassment, she blurted out the whole truth in front of the crowd. I think that is the ground upon which Jesus continued his healing. He made it permanent. She told him the truth. When he looked around for someone, she fell down before him, told him what the problem was, how long she'd had it, how unclean she was, how difficult it was for her to find him, to get to him, and how determined she was. She simply put the problem right back into his hands, and immediately his response was to make permanent her healed condition. That's the record. These are the facts. It's a matter of history. That's the miracle. Jesus heals a woman who had a bleeding problem. And what a miracle it was. It's the only miracle recorded in Scripture where no word was spoken or action displayed by Jesus. So what we have here, folks, is a miracle of faith. But we also have a lesson to take home with us, if you will. A lesson about dealing with interruptions and priorities. It's one that I need to remember. In the Gospel of Mark, we have many examples of Jesus being interrupted. He's interrupted by Peter when he's praying, by a leper when he's preaching, by a paralytic when he's speaking. And Jesus deals with these interruptions with love and patience. The people, the need, is first and foremost. We don't have to say, "Excuse me, Jesus, pardon the interruption." When we feel put upon, when the teacher feels distracted from the task by the students with problems, when pastors are concerned because they're distracted preparing their sermon, when parents feel upset because they were distracted by their children, Henry Nouwen said, and I quote, "You know, my whole life I've been complaining that my work was constantly interrupted until I discovered that my interruptions were my work." We need to remember that. And Christ's example of how he treated the distraction. He spoke to her as if she were the only person in the crowd. When he turned, it was just Jesus and the woman. No one else mattered. He loves you and he loves me as if there was only one person in all the universe to love. He hears you and he hears me as if we were the only ones speaking to him. He attends to our needs as if we were the only needs in the whole universe. Man, what a Christ is that. We're the only one at that moment. He loves you. He loves me. As if we're the only people in this whole vast universe. All that touches you touches him. If it's pain, then he feels the pain. If it's sorrow, then he feels the sorrow. If it's rejection, he feels the rejection. If it's loss, then he feels the loss. If it's failure, he feels the failure. Whatever it is that hurts you and me, Jesus Christ feels it. If it touches you, it touches him. How simple it is for us to come to Christ. Just a touch is all it takes. If we have but barely the strength to reach out our hand, his mighty power flows into our lives. Just a touch, and Jesus will enter our lives. The fact is that every time we touch Jesus and make contact, he's going to bring change into our lives. It could be a physical healing. We know he can do that. But it could be even more vital changes. It could be forgiveness of sin. We all stand in the need of forgiveness. It's me, oh Lord. It could change, be a change in our attitude or a change of mind. I don't know about you, but every now and then, probably about two or three times a day, I need an attitude adjustment. And I think if we're honest, we'll all say yes. Hallelujah! Yes! I am not alone. But no matter what the need is, he's there. So I ask you, are you ready? Are you ready to reach out and touch? He's waiting. He's waiting for you, and he's waiting for me to touch him. Our trembling fingers can reach you. This morning, come to the table. He doesn't mind the interruption. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.